This episode was created with the support of Free FM, Hamilton, New Zealand's community access media organisation. Visit us at freefm.org.nz.
Greetings, I am Barry. If you're searching for answers, spiritual help, clairvoyant readings, healings, crystals, books, incense, or jewellery, you need to go to Infinity, Hamilton Spiritual Centre, in the new premises at 550 Anglesey Street. Or you can phone us on 838 1838. This is your link between this life and the next. Become the change the world needs today.
The Voice Within, your connection between this world and the next. Brought to you by Infinity Spiritual Centre, 550 Anglesey Street, Hamilton.
Greetings, I'm Barry. So, coming up on the 28th, we've got an eclipse. And Pam Gregor is going to tell us all about it.
Hi, everyone. I'm going to be speaking to you today about the full moon in Pisces. It's a lunar eclipse, a partial lunar eclipse, which is coming up on the 28th of August. 27th of August, if you're West Coast America, 28th of August, east of that. So, yes, this, although it's partial, I think it will pack a punch for different reasons, which we'll go into. But really do remember through this whole process, particularly this eclipse period, but remember this eclipse period is just a seeding period. So I'd like to get away from this idea that astrology is kind of flash in a pan, that something, you know, the astrology lines up to exactitude on a certain day, and then either something happens or something doesn't. A lot is happening internally. This is a consciousness revolution. We are shifting our biology. We are shifting our state, shifting our state of being. So really do try and view it in that more extended way, because everything has to come from consciousness and energy first before it manifests. But this is quite an important one. It will be seen across a lot of the world during the nighttime falling. This partial lunar eclipse will be falling across Africa, Europe, Iceland, Scandinavia, parts of Greenland, Antarctica, the Americas, North and South, and the Eastern Pacific Ocean. So a lot of geographies, really. And a lunar eclipse is like a big full moon. So it's a point of release. This lunar eclipse is going to be at 4 degrees, 54 minutes of Pisces. Now, that is also conjunct the fixed royal star Fomalhaut, which is at 4 degrees of Pisces. And that is linked to the two Archangel Gabriel. Very much an archangel connected to communication, protection, etc. So watcher of the south of those four royal stars. But lunar eclipse, as I say, is a big full moon. So there's always this sense of release, of letting something go, and even more so when it's a lunar eclipse, because it's a bigger deal. So yes, in this case, we will most certainly see endings. Look where 4 degrees, 54 minutes is falling in your chart, which house area it's affecting. Is it conjunct a planet? I'd give that about 5 degrees for this eclipse, 5 degrees either way. But it is also a north node eclipse, because for an eclipse to happen, the full moon, or in this case, a full moon, has to be close either to the south node end of the nodal axis or the north node end. Now, the total solar eclipse we've just had was, although it's a big new beginning, was at the south node end. And I think that's a big message here about people on the public stage in the coming weeks and months we're going to see falling from grace if they've not acted in integrity. Could be leaders, could be celebrities, could be royalty, etc. But the issue is integrity. And also, how altruistic they have been. Are they really in service to others, or are they in service to self? And the universe judges. It's not up to us to judge. The universe sorts that out. If you are acting in integrity and altruism and authenticity, I think this is an incredibly powerful time of empowerment, this whole eclipse season. But with the lunar eclipse on the 28th of August being a north node eclipse, and lunar eclipses tend to be more personal, particularly this one because it's in Pisces, so it's highly emotional, very sensitive, very emotional. But as one door closes, I think a much bigger door, a much bigger opportunity will be opening up very soon after because it's a north node eclipse. I hope that makes sense for you. So it's, yes, it's an ending, but there's, it's also going to reveal a bigger beginning for you. So really trust, even though this may feel quite difficult and sensitive and emotional, you may see relationships ending now. Pisces is super sensitive. It could be, see which houses are activated in your chart. Is it the house of the home, the fourth house? Is something changing in the home? Is it the 10th house or your sixth house? It's going to affect your work. So just observe, and this is how we learn on our astrological journey. And so as it's a lunar eclipse in Pisces, Leo was about celebrities, royalty, leaders, you know, people in charge. I think with the lunar eclipse in Pisces, we could see some spiritual people eclipsed if they had not acted in integrity, altruism, authenticity. I think we could see some spiritual leaders exit the stage at this time. So, but remember where you are acting in those qualities, this is a very big time for empowerment for you, leadership. Although that's a funny word these days, isn't it? You know, what does leadership really mean? But we are in a consciousness revolution, and just really grab that with both hands. We're in a consciousness revolution. And this is a very particular, which I've banged my drum endlessly about over the last couple of years, it's an accelerated, concentrated period of evolution between 2025 and 2027. And yes, it'll go on forever, but I just think the astrology is marking out this very particular, these 3 years, and we're right in the crucible of change right now. But it's a consciousness revolution. So really think as we go through this eclipse portal, you know, what is moving away in your life? What is outgrown? What no longer feels quite right? What's more of a struggle or a strain to keep the conversations up in the friendships, the relationships? What just feels off energetically for you in a way that you couldn't perceive before? You know, what new state of being is birthing in you? What are you already becoming that this lunar eclipse is going to reveal further for you? But it is a very big time of letting go, and with Pisces, this is all about a need to touch the divine on a daily basis, whatever that means for you, whether it's writing poetry, listening to music, being in nature, being of service to other people, whatever that means. But it certainly is a deeply spiritual sign, a deeply sensitive sign, an emotional sign, a lot of empathy, sympathy. There's a gentleness, there's a compassion that's very strong here. And there's a really strong sense of being connected to all other sentient beings, which I think is, people are feeling more and more and more. And I've noticed also there seems to be, and heaven knows it's long overdue, but more compassion for animals right now, particularly sea creatures, marine animals. I've noticed that a lot of them, I've been picking this up on social media, that many marine animals, dolphins, etc., that have been in captivity are now being released into safe sanctuaries after many years in captivity. There's a compassion coming in. And people are demanding that animals be taken out of captivity. It's happening more with elephants, happening more with horses. And so I think this is this whole zeitgeist of we have a greater sense of oneness and connection. That's going to get stronger and stronger, that we are connected not only to all our brothers and sisters, but to all living sentient beings, trees, plants, birds, all of it. We are also we also may see at this time news coming up about the seas, the oceans, very Piscean. The Strait of Hormuz is very connected to Pisces, of course. Oil is Pisces, and also Cerulean Neptune. When we have the Saturn-Neptune conjunction in February, and remember that's still operational, that's just another seed point. Try and see all the astrology as seed points rather than just, you know, quick transits. That literally was limited Saturn, oil, Neptune, also limited water in many places. So we're seeing big issues around drought. With all the fires we have, we know the outer planets are all in fire and air, air acting like bellows for the fires. Wildfires all over the globe right now. I've had a lot very close to me, destroyed about 400 acres of beautiful forest. You know, it's all over the world. A lot of drought. So, you know, this shortage of water, the issue around water is coming in very, very strongly. And also issues about oil, as I say, that could fuel inflation. But we're letting go of the victim with this Pisces energy. This is the last eclipse in Pisces in that series, because we're now into the Aquarius-Leo cycle of eclipses. And very often the first eclipse in a series, or the last eclipse as we have here, is particularly powerful. And even though it's partial, I believe it's going to be powerful. And again, we'll see that when we come onto the chart. So we're letting go of being the victim of the illusion. Things may come up about deception and lies, particularly around issues to do with the media, to do with drugs of any kind, pharmaceutical drugs, issues around immunity and blood. That's very linked to Pisces as well. So a lot is going to be coming to light. This is already happening in the US, and it's going to be spreading elsewhere too. But with all of the fires we're having, I think there is also potential with this partial lunar eclipse in Pisces for a lot of flooding. And I have certain reasons for saying that. So, okay, so here we see it. This is going to be at 5:20 in the morning on the clock. We're still in British summertime in the UK. And here we clearly see the sun and moon opposite each other, which they always are at a full moon. So the moon in Pisces, the sun in Virgo. And it's what's called a hybrid eclipse, because the nodal axis, which you can only have an eclipse when there's a full moon or a new moon near the nodal axis. So it's called a hybrid eclipse because the nodal axis is now in Leo and Aquarius. And so, and it's interesting, I mean, South Node in Leo, anaretic degree of Leo, we're seeing excesses in leadership, all the things I've talked about, grandiosity, narcissism. It stays, that true South Node stays at 29 of Leo until the 10th of October. We're also seeing excessive fire, as I've just been describing. So that's why it's known as a hybrid eclipse. We're kind of going between the two axes right now. But the interesting thing, there are many interesting things in this chart, but we can clearly see that the sun in Virgo and the moon in Pisces are very tightly square to Uranus, the planet of awakening and the disruptive planet as well. Now, another thing to say here, as well as the full moon being conjunct Fomalhaut, the link to Archangel Gabriel, the Watcher of the South, it is also conjunct a dwarf planet called Gonggong at 5 degrees of Pisces. Now, Gonggong is the Chinese god of flooding. It often is present tightly in charts where you see a lot of flooding, excessive water. So that's one of the clues that we may be, because we're moving into the fall in the Northern Hemisphere as well, we may see in some geographies a lot of flooding. But of course, the ground is so hard now with all the heat and the drought that may just literally not be able to be absorbed by the land. So You know, we will see what unfolds. So this T-square to Uranus brings in, of course, again, this theme of rebellion and revolution. People are really losing trust and in governments. They're losing legitimacy because Uranus is the planet of truth and awakening. There's a lot of awakening happening right now. And Uranus is also actually it's very faint here. There's a green line, a quincunx between 5 of Gemini and 6 of Capricorn, which is where Ixion is, dwarf planet Ixion. And Ixion is the dwarf planet that asks the question, are the rules we are playing by the right ones? It is audacious. It asks those tough questions. And it goes very easily and happily in following its bliss beyond the old system to create more joy. So there is, you know, we have such strong themes here of revolution, of rebellion, of going beyond the current system as the old system breaks down. And I think in these last few months of the year, the old system is going to break down faster, be more chaotic, but try and hang on to control more strongly. So we're going to see a wilder, at the 3D level, a wilder few months. Just know that, because you don't have to live at the 3D level. So just be prepared to know that, because this is the time it's meant to happen. You know, the astrology has been really clear on that. So, and also to say, of course, that this T-square to Uranus brings in the potential for greater seismic activity, because Uranus is that discontinuous, eruptive quality. And we've seen a real spate of, not only there's a massive amount of volcanic activity you may be aware of across the world. Volcanoes are very active, particularly the largest ones, and also earthquakes. We've had a devastating earthquake recently in Colombia, where a lot of people lost their lives. And we've seen several recently also in the Philippines and Indonesia, 2 in Indonesia in about the last 36 hours. I'm filming this on the 16th of August. So there's a lot out there. Earthquakes and volcanoes tend to cluster around not only full moons and new moons to some degree, but also around eclipses. So the Earth is shedding a lot of trauma right now. So this can also cause, as you can probably do this part of the video yourself, but it can also cause disruptions in aviation sometimes. Uranus is the planet linked to aviation. It can cause power outages, shutdowns in communication systems, Gemini, internet, just systems in general can go offline because there's a cutout, there's a power cutout, an internet cutout, whatever it is. So be aware that those kinds of disruptions can happen too. But remember, the higher purpose is our awakening. That's the higher purpose for Uranus. This is a powerful T-square of change, and it not only involves Uranus, but also Sedna, our planet here of metamorphosis. And while I was thinking about this video, what came to mind was that beautiful conversation I had with my good friend Susie Miller. I'll put the link for that below. When she was talking about the Ortis, talking about clearing the astral realms and us as humanity having a much more direct connection to Source. And I just suddenly got the image of as we light up, as we awaken and get to that higher state of consciousness, it's like popcorn. One by one, we're like popcorn popping into those higher levels of consciousness to see from the mountaintop, to see from a higher perspective and a wider lens. This is about a wider perspective on your world, an expanded awareness. That's what evolution and ascension is all about. And we're blending more with our intuition and our feeling. The heart is running the show for sure. And Jupiter, is in Leo, the sign linked to the heart. And it is actually in a quintile. It's a 72-degree aspect to Sedna. This is actually 70 degrees, but if you give a quintile a 2-degree orbit either way, it's in a quintile. Now, a quintile is a highly creative aspect. So it's very interesting that Sedna, the planet of metamorphosis in the sign Gemini, to do with the mind and the neural network, is operating very creatively with Jupiter expanding our facility and abilities with the heart in Leo. I mean, Jupiter is very, very happy in Leo. It is also conjunct Varuna, the dwarf planet Varuna, here very tightly. And Varuna is the god of cosmic order. And Alan Clay describes Varuna as representing mastery consciousness. It is how we claim our sovereignty through persistent and devoted and dedicated offerings to humanity. We step into our sovereignty by offering help to others. And what is really fascinating here as well is that Jupiter and Varuna are trying to Saturn and Selassie. This is structured water. And I also believe that this whole change for us is being purified by light. Water is leading our consciousness in that water is operating at a higher level itself. And we are ingesting the water and, you know, expelling the water, and it's the great unifier, the great connector, as Vedder Austin calls it. So, yeah, I think the more we can bless our water, and Kelly Colodney's been talking a great deal about this, the more we can bless our water, which structures it straight away when it's in water, a blessing or love, that instantly raises the water to a higher consciousness, which we not only benefit from ourselves, but we could also pour back straight into the rivers, the seas, the lakes, the oceans, etc. And the whole thing becomes a way to help to raise the global collective consciousness. Very beautiful, very beautiful. Another thing we have here is that we have a finger of God, finger of fate, between Pluto at 3 of Aquarius, sextile Neptune at 3 of Aries, and they are both in quincunx to the sun at 4 degrees of Virgo. So it's a very tight finger of God, finger of fate. And so this is all about, the sun in Virgo is all about, okay, we've had a lot of inspiration and ideas with a lot of Leo energy. Virgo is now getting practical day to day. How do we make this manifest? And we make it manifest through, again, stepping into sovereignty, because Aries and Aquarius are both signs linked to our independence, our sovereignty, working with humanity, Aquarius, really operating at a grassroots level in networks with our brothers and sisters across the world. But there's also a sense, a profound sense here of incorporating the spiritual. Both Neptune and Pluto are powerfully linked to the higher spiritual realms. Pluto, planet of transformation, Neptune, divine order, compassion, oneness, source, healing, etc. I've got exactly this finger of fate in my own chart, actually, not in those signs. My son's in Pisces, but I've got exactly that. So there's a sense of spiritual destiny with this, a spiritual destiny that, yes, this is going to come to pass, and we have to make it practical day to day. And also another sense, I think, from this T-square to Uranus with the lunar eclipse, is that both Gemini is to do with your day-to-day comings and goings. It's your links with your friends, your neighbors, your siblings. It's your day-to-day interactions. And Virgo is also to do with your daily routine, more in terms of a work routine. But there's a strong sense here of innovation in how we live, not only innovation in our neural networks and lots of brilliant ideas about new technology and ways that we are changing our neural networks to blend with the heart, Jupiter in Leo. But there's also a sense of us experimenting more with how we live day to day. Now, that could be a very simple thing. You're changing your daily routine, Virgo, to do something that you are much more passionate about. Finger of fate, finger of God, inspired by spirituality in some way. So you're changing, it could be you're just changing the way you do, the order in which you do things, the pattern of your day, or you may be doing very different things. You may be doing things that are linked to the earth, Virgo. The Virgo is the sign of ancient wisdom. Now, the ancient wisdom keepers, who are very much in tune with the earth and linked to plant medicine, herb medicine, tapping into all the cures, the wisdom that the earth has to offer us. Or it may be a more radical shift in your day-to-day living. You're going to go off and live in a community. We're going to see a lot more of that. And I talked to that lovely lady, Cynthia Tina, a few months ago. You can find that video on my channel. So, you know, I think this is very interesting in terms of the potential it has for many, many changes coming into our lives. Another aspect to point out is that we have a very tight trine here between Jupiter and Saturn. Now, Jupiter and Saturn were very tightly conjunct on the 12th of January 2020. When we had the exact Saturn-Pluto conjunction. Remember, you know, we all know what that was about. That was the beginning of the pandemic. So this is the first opening trine we have had since that time. So how far have we come? What have we learnt about all that? What is emerging from those times? Is there a reality check, Saturn? Is there a reality check linked to this? Because most certainly this South Node in Leo speaks about excessive power, misused power, etc. I think we're seeing a lot of this coming to light right now. And so therefore, what are we going to build long term from this point going forwards that's much more connected to the water, the light, and heart energy? And mastery consciousness, Varuna. Thank you, Alan Clay. So to say here, we also have, as I've talked about elsewhere as well, just to remind you, we have Chiron at zero of Taurus. It's mid-September, it backs into Aries again. But the sun is now fairly tightly trying to Chiron. So in the bright light of this lunar eclipse, it's going to remind us about natural resources, about any damage we've done to the earth, any wounding to our physical bodies. That's also Taurus. And we actually have, if I can try and point this out here, we actually have what's called a mystic rectangle. Because Chiron is sextile to this full moon at 4 of Pisces. Also, this Chiron is opposing Homer. The sun is also opposing the moon, as we know. So this is actually the sun here is sextile Homer, the planet of regeneration. So this mystic rectangle, if I can point that out, is made up of, yes, oppositions, so there's challenge, but it also has a sense of divine harmony, that we can fix it through regeneration, through understanding the earth more deeply, connecting with her more fully. We create that divine harmony. We are the bridge. We as humanity are the bridge to fix that, because we've done the damage And that's what's being recognised, I think, very, very widely right now. You know, we are the bridge. We are the bridge generation. And we change the world by our frequency. That's how the world changes, by our frequency. So a lot to pick up there. We also have Venus in Libra, the sign, one of the signs she rules. She's very happy in Libra. She is actually opposing Eris. And so both of them have a need for inclusion, equality, balance, but they do it in different ways. Eris is the feisty street fighter, the goddess of chaos and discord that wants everybody to be included and says it loudly, demands even things that apparently led to the Trojan War. Whereas Venus brings in a greater sense of ease and flow, a kind of softening of that Eris energy. And remember, it's just our inner shifts. We don't have to go out on the street with placards. But remember, Pluto's out of bounds to the south until December. And then again, each year from August to December, broadly, till 2035. But so much of this is happening in our consciousness, because if we can change our inner state, the reality around us has to shift. It just, that's a law of physics. It just has to shift. So it's an inside job, as I've said, you know, many times. I think in the coming months, where we see more collapse, but also more attempted control, the choice you have made of your timeline, and remember, you can keep on changing your timeline. It's down to you. Nobody dictates your frequency. That is absolutely down to you. No judgment, no force. You know, you choose. Nobody can choose it for you. But the path you are on will become clearer in these coming months. Both the people who are focused on the news, on war, on gloom and doom, on, you know, end of the world, that's going to be amplified. The people who have chosen a higher path of love, care for all living beings, etc., that's going to be amplified. They're both going to be amplified. So in a way, for a period of time, we're going to have more polarity. But whatever you've chosen will become clearer from this point on moving forwards. So you'll get more kind of evidence of your frequency. I looked at the Sabian symbol for this lunar eclipse. And for the Sabian symbols, as we know, we have to round up to the next degree. So round up to 5 degrees of Pisces. And this comes from Dame Rudyard. So very reliable. A brilliant philosopher, astrologer, who's passed now. But 5 degrees of Pisces, the Sabian symbol is a church bazaar. It is the value of giving spiritual and transcendent sanction to even the most commonplace interactions. Possibility of the presence of God in even the most everyday material and routine activities, living in grace. Well, that's what we've got with that sun-moon opposition, the sun in Virgo, that's your day-to-day routine, and Uranus in that T-square in Gemini, your day-to-day thinking, your coming and going, your interactions. That's exactly the two, you know, there's two signs, Gemini and Virgo, both ruled by Mercury, are exactly the signs, I would say, are linked to even the most commonplace interactions. So let me read that again. So church bazaar, that's how it's defined. And quote Dame Rudyard, it's the value of giving spiritual and transcendent sanction to even the most commonplace interactions, the possibility of the presence of God in even the most everyday material and routine activities. So this is living in grace. As we move through our days, move through with gratitude, move through with love, just try and not just do it in your 20-minute meditation or your 15-minute breathwork session, but to stretch it through your day so it truly becomes a state of being. because that's when we invite in these infinite possibilities that Dr. David Clements talks so much about. So, you know, this is a very, very, we can feel it, we can see it, it's palpable, it's visceral, the energy is going incredibly fast. Yes, we're all very tired, but try and welcome it in. Take more rest, take time out. Do drop into stillness. I mean, stillness is the solution. Dropping into your heart, imagine you're breathing in and out through your heart, dropping into stillness. It's that simple. 10 tons of complexity out there, really simple when you turn inwards. Just focusing on your breath, moving in and out of your heart, slow the breath. Look on my meditation page of my website, look at the yogic baby belly breath, which is a brilliant way of calming down your nervous system, because a lot of people are going to be very jazzed up in their nervous system. So do this regularly. Have several stillness meetings with yourself. That's one of the, you know, you're not wasting time. It's one of the most valuable things you can do to change your state of being into something more loving and gracious. And, you know, there's an awful lot of talk, you know, you see it all over social media, an awful lot of talk about the doom, the gloom, the end of the world, you know, the what's wrong with the world. But that is the result of our past collective consciousness. That's the result of all of our thinking and feeling and all of it. Yes, and I know there's some other influences coming in as well. I'm well aware of those. But as humanity, particularly as we're stepping into our sovereignty, we can change that. We can start to focus more on what's right with the world and make it even better. And I'd suggest that's where we need to put our focus. You know, it's a great saying. I don't know who said it, but it's a great saying. I'm not just here to make a living. I'm here to make a difference, because each single person can make a lot of difference to a lot of people, whether that is practical help, emotional help, financial help, you know, just your state of being. Beaming that out alters the collective consciousness. So, you know, really do know this. And I'll just give you a short update on my Pam Gregory Giving charity project, because I'm only operational with that on Facebook and obviously YouTube. So for those of you who don't see my regular updates on Facebook, just a quick update. After 6 weeks of trading, we started on the 30th of June with Pam Gregory Giving. 6 weeks after that, we were able to make our first donation of £1,500, which is about almost $2,000, almost 2,000 euros roughly, to the Children's Mountain Home, which is an orphanage for Nepalese children. Many of them have lost their parents in the earthquakes. And so the Nepalese people are beautiful. They're incredibly caring and humble. They're beautiful people. And it's a very poor country, Nepal. So it was a really heartfelt enterprise to do that. And very kindly, the gentleman that runs the orphanage has sent back about 12 photos. And we now have baby grows and sleep suits with the hashtag "Look What Love Built" on them. That's the only saying we have on the baby grows and the sleep suits, but hashtag "Look What Love Built." And we're carrying that across all of our products. So I'm just one person in a very small corner trying to do something to make a difference in the world. And we'll be giving all of the net proceeds of this project to various charities. The five of them are all listed on the website. You know, it's a beautiful thing to do. It's it just makes my heart feel good. So that's just a quick update on that. And God bless. Know that we are in incredibly exciting times. And, you know, just stay the course, like the opera singer holding a note. Just get onto a good frequency of gratitude, of love, of compassion, whatever it is, and just hold that note. The longer you hold the note, the stronger the scaffolding for new earth becomes. God bless. Thank you so much for listening. Bye for now, and I'll be back very soon. And by the way, thank you for all that you are doing in the world, because I know every single one of you listening is doing something. Every single one of you, just by your state of being, you are doing something. Joining the meditation every day or whenever you can, you're doing something. Just know that. Thank you for all of that. God bless. Bye for now.
Hang on, Grandma. Just one more message. Actually, tell me again. What was it like when you were my age?
Ha ha, that's quite a story.
Sometimes the greatest gift we can give isn't advice, it's our attention. This National Spiritual Day, put the phone down, look someone in the eyes, and listen. Because it matters less how you connect, and more that you do.
National Spiritual Day, the 22nd of September. Celebrating the spiritual values that bring us all together.
Inner Light by Jonathan Goldman. Now, Lee Harris is telling us about what's happening in the next 4 years.
The next 4 years may change everything, not because some perfect moment is coming to rescue you, but because you are entering a period where the person you have been becoming will begin to make choices the old version of you could never make. And perhaps somewhere inside, you already feel it. Something is shifting. Something is asking you to stop living on autopilot and start listening more deeply to yourself. You may not know exactly what these next 4 years will bring. You may not know which doors will open, which relationships will change, or which dreams will finally become possible. But you do not need to know every detail. You only need to understand that your future is being shaped by what you repeatedly choose today. Sometimes transformation begins quietly. It begins when you stop chasing what no longer feels right. When you stop explaining yourself to people who have already decided not to understand you. When you stop forcing situations that require you to abandon your own peace just to keep them alive. These moments may feel like loss, but often they are the beginning of alignment. The next 4 years can become a completely different chapter of your life if you are willing to become different within yourself. Not a fake version of you. Not someone who pretends to have everything figured out, a deeper version of you, a calmer version, a more honest version. Someone who knows what deserves their energy and what no longer does. There will be moments when your life feels uncertain. You may wonder whether you are moving forward or simply standing still. But remember this, not all progress is visible. Sometimes progress is choosing peace instead of reacting. Sometimes it is walking away instead of proving your worth. Sometimes it is resting without feeling guilty. Sometimes it is beginning again after believing you had failed. Your energy changes when your choices change. And when your energy changes, the way you experience your life begins to change with it. You start noticing opportunities you once overlooked. You begin recognizing people who genuinely support you. You become less attracted to chaos because peace starts feeling more valuable than excitement. So don't spend these next 4 years waiting for your life to become meaningful. Make them meaningful. Start with the small things. Keep promises to yourself. Protect your attention. Take care of your inner world. Give your dreams consistent effort instead of occasional attention. You don't need to transform your entire life overnight. You need to stop abandoning yourself every time life becomes uncomfortable. There may be people who don't understand the direction you are taking. Let them. Not everyone needs to understand your journey. Some people only recognize the version of you they were comfortable with. When you grow, they may call you distant, different, or changed. And perhaps you are, but changing is not always something to apologize for. Sometimes changing is exactly what life has been asking you to do. The next 4 years will give you countless opportunities to choose who you want to become. You will choose what you tolerate. You will choose what you give your attention to. You will choose whether fear controls your decisions or whether you allow uncertainty to exist without letting it stop you. And there will be days when you feel behind. When you look around and believe everyone else is moving faster, but your life is not a race against another person's timeline. You are not late. You are learning the lessons you need for the life you are building. What looks like a delay may actually be preparation. Maybe the biggest shift will happen when you stop asking, when will my life change? And start asking, who do I need to become to live the life I keep imagining? That question changes everything because it brings your power back to the present moment. You don't have to see the entire path. Take the next honest step. Then another, let your decisions become evidence that you trust yourself. Let your actions become stronger than your fears. Let your inner voice become louder than the opinions around you. 4 years from now, you may look back at this version of yourself with incredible gratitude. You may realize that the difficult endings were clearing space. The uncertainty was teaching you trust. The waiting was developing patience. And the moments when you felt lost were quietly guiding you toward a life that actually felt like yours. So begin now, not tomorrow, not when everything is perfect, not when you feel completely ready. Begin with what you have, where you are, and who you are today. Because the future does not suddenly arrive one morning. It is created quietly through the choices you make when nobody is watching. The next 4 years can change everything, but the deepest change begins with you. And perhaps the most powerful thing you can do today is stop trying to control exactly how your future will unfold and start becoming available to what is trying to unfold through you. You are not here to remain the person you were. You are here to grow, to learn, to release, to rebuild, and to discover what becomes possible when you finally stop fighting your own evolution. Let these next 4 years be the period when you choose yourself with greater honesty, live with greater courage, and trust that every step forward, even the uncertain ones, is taking you somewhere. Your future is not asking you to have all the answers. It is asking you to begin. The first and deepest shift begins within you. Before your circumstances change, before new opportunities appear, before your relationships become different, something inside you has to become more honest. Your outer life often begins reflecting the inner changes you are willing to make. You may spend years waiting for something outside yourself to finally make you feel different. You wait for the right person, the right opportunity, the right amount of money, or the perfect moment. But lasting transformation rarely begins outside. It begins when you become willing to meet yourself honestly. Your energy is influenced by what you repeatedly think, feel, believe, and tolerate. When you constantly live from fear, comparison, or the need for approval, you can lose connection with your own inner knowing. You become so focused on what everyone else expects that you stop hearing what you actually need. This does not mean you should force yourself to be positive every moment. Real growth is not about pretending that everything is wonderful. It is about becoming aware of what you are feeling without allowing every emotion to control your identity. You can feel fear and still move forward. There may be sadness in you that needs to be felt. There may be anger that is showing you where a boundary was crossed. There may be exhaustion telling you that you have been giving more than you have available. Instead of immediately judging these feelings, become curious about what they are trying to reveal. Sometimes the greatest transformation happens when you stop fighting yourself. You don't have to become a completely different person overnight. You can simply become more present with yourself. Notice your reactions. Notice what drains you. Notice what brings you peace. Notice where your energy naturally expands. When you begin listening inwardly, certain things become clearer. You may realize that some relationships are no longer aligned with who you are becoming. You may recognize that certain habits keep you trapped in an older version of yourself. You may discover that what once felt exciting now feels strangely empty. This can be uncomfortable because growth often challenges familiar patterns. Even something unhealthy can feel safe when you have known it for a long time. Your mind may tell you to return to what is familiar, while another part of you quietly knows that you have outgrown it. That is where self-trust becomes important. You don't need everyone to validate your next step before you take it. Sometimes you will have to move forward without certainty. Sometimes the only confirmation you receive is the quiet feeling that says, "This is no longer who I am." Your transformation may also change the way you use your attention. What you constantly focus on becomes part of your emotional environment. If you spend your days absorbing fear, conflict, comparison, and negativity, eventually that atmosphere can feel normal. Becoming conscious of what you consume can create space for something healthier. Protecting your energy does not mean becoming disconnected from the world. It means becoming intentional about what you allow to occupy your inner space. You can care deeply about others without carrying everything they feel. You can love someone without losing yourself inside their needs. The next 4 years can become powerful because you are being invited to develop a stronger relationship with yourself. Not the version of yourself that performs for approval, but the quieter part that knows when something feels right, when something feels wrong, and when it is time to move. You may discover that your greatest challenge was never becoming someone new. It was removing everything that prevented you from expressing who you already were. Fear old beliefs, people pleasing, and outdated identities can create layers around you until you forget how natural it feels to simply be yourself. So begin gently. You don't have to transform your entire life today. Start by telling yourself the truth. Start by honoring what your body and emotions are communicating. Start by making one decision that respects the person you are becoming rather than protecting the person you used to be. Every honest choice strengthens your connection with yourself. Every boundary teaches you that your energy matters. Every moment of self-awareness creates another opportunity to respond differently. And slowly, these small changes become a new way of living rather than something you have to force. The future version of you is not created through one dramatic breakthrough. It is created through hundreds of quiet moments when you choose awareness over automatic reaction, self, respect over approval, and trust over fear. Those moments may seem small now, but they can completely reshape the direction of your life. There comes a point in your life when holding on becomes more painful than letting go. You may know that something is no longer right for you, yet still remain attached because it is familiar. Sometimes the hardest step is simply admitting that you have outgrown it. You do not have to hate what you are leaving behind. You can appreciate what it taught you and still choose to move forward. Some people, places, habits, and identities were important for a chapter of your life. But that does not mean they belong in every chapter. Pay attention to what consistently drains you. Notice the conversations after which you feel smaller. Notice the situations where you constantly question your worth. Notice how your body responds when you enter certain spaces. Your awareness can reveal truths that your mind has been avoiding. Letting go is not always a dramatic decision. Sometimes it is simply deciding that you will no longer chase what refuses to meet you halfway. It is choosing not to explain yourself endlessly. It is allowing silence to exist without desperately trying to fill it. There may be moments when releasing something feels like losing a part of yourself. But sometimes what you are losing is not your true self. You are losing an old identity, an old expectation, or an old story about how your life was supposed to unfold. You may have spent years believing that you needed certain people to remain in your life. You may have confused attachment with love, familiarity with safety, or struggle with commitment. Growth allows you to see these patterns without judging yourself for having lived through them. When you create space, something unexpected can happen. You begin hearing your own thoughts more clearly. Your energy becomes less scattered. You have more room for creativity, peace, meaningful relationships and opportunities that actually reflect the person you are becoming. This is why releasing the old can feel so powerful. You are not simply removing something from your life. You are making a declaration about what you are available for now. You are saying that your future deserves more space than your past has been given. Do not rush the process. Some things need to leave gradually. Some emotions need time to move through you. Give yourself permission to grieve what is ending without interpreting the grief as a mistake. Missing something does not automatically mean you should return to it. The next 4 years can bring profound change when you stop carrying everything that belongs to an earlier version of you. You do not need to know exactly what will replace it. Sometimes the empty space is necessary before you can recognize what genuinely belongs there. Your future is not created in one dramatic moment. It is shaped quietly through the choices you make every day, the way you speak to yourself, the boundaries you hold, the habits you repeat, and the attention you give to your inner world are all becoming part of the life you are creating. You may be waiting for a huge opportunity to change everything, but sometimes the opportunity is already here, hidden inside an ordinary day. It is the decision to begin again. It is choosing consistency when motivation disappears. It is taking one small step even when you cannot yet see where the path leads. Every choice carries energy. When you repeatedly choose fear, your world can begin to feel smaller. When you repeatedly choose awareness, honesty, and courage, you create more space within yourself. You begin responding to life instead of constantly reacting to everything happening around you. This does not mean every decision will feel easy. Growth can feel uncomfortable because you are stepping beyond familiar patterns. There will be days when you doubt yourself, question your direction, or wonder whether your effort is making any difference. Those moments do not mean you are failing. Think about how much can change when a small decision is repeated for years. One healthy boundary becomes a new standard. One disciplined morning becomes a routine. One honest conversation changes a relationship. One courageous decision can eventually redirect the entire course of your life. Stop underestimating the power of small choices. You do not need to completely rebuild yourself today. You need to make the next choice that is aligned with the person you want to become. Then tomorrow, make another. Over time, your actions begin teaching your mind what you truly believe. Your energy also changes when you stop giving your attention to everything that demands it. Not every problem deserves your reaction. Not every opinion deserves your explanation. Not every person deserves unlimited access to your emotional space. Your attention is valuable, so choose where you place it. There will be moments when you have to choose between temporary comfort and long-term peace. The old pattern may feel easier because it is familiar, but the new path often begins with one uncomfortable decision that says, "I am no longer willing to abandon myself just to remain comfortable." A trust can grow through action. You do not have to wait until you completely believe in yourself. Start by keeping one promise to yourself, then another. Each time you follow through, you create evidence that your own voice can be trusted. 4 years from now, you may not remember every small decision you made, but you will live inside their results. The habits, boundaries, relationships, beliefs, and choices you practice today will quietly become the foundation of your future. So do not wait for life to give you permission to begin. Choose the next step that feels honest. Choose what brings you closer to yourself. Choose what strengthens your peace rather than feeding your fear. Your future is being built now through choices that may look small but carry enormous meaning. You do not need to know exactly where your life is going in order to move forward. Sometimes the mind wants a complete map before it takes the first step, but life rarely gives you that kind of certainty. Often clarity comes after you begin moving, not before. There will be seasons when everything feels uncertain. You may question your direction, your decisions, or even yourself. Instead of seeing uncertainty as proof that something is wrong, allow it to become a space where you can listen more deeply and discover what truly matters to you. You have probably experienced moments when your plans changed without warning. Something you expected to last ended. Something you wanted did not happen. A door closed that you desperately wanted to remain open. At the time, it may have felt like life was moving against you. But sometimes an ending creates space that you could not have created yourself. Sometimes what feels like rejection is simply redirection. You may not understand the meaning of a change immediately. Give yourself permission to experience it before demanding an explanation from life. Trust does not mean believing that everything will happen exactly as you want. Trust means knowing that you can meet whatever comes next. It means developing enough connection with yourself that even when circumstances change, you do not completely lose your center. Your future may contain things you cannot currently imagine. New people may enter your life. New opportunities may appear. Your priorities may change. The person you become may want things that the current version of you has never considered. Leave room for that possibility. Sometimes we become so attached to a particular outcome that we miss the life unfolding around us. We decide that happiness must look one specific way, and when reality chooses another direction, we assume we have failed. But perhaps life is inviting you to become more flexible. Listen to the quieter signals within you. Notice what brings a sense of expansion, peace, curiosity, or genuine excitement. Notice what repeatedly creates tension, exhaustion, or the feeling that you are performing a version of yourself. Your inner experience can become valuable information when you learn to pay attention. This does not mean every feeling is an instruction. Emotions can be temporary and fear can sometimes speak very loudly. The deeper practice is learning to pause before reacting. Give yourself enough space to distinguish between an impulse created by fear and a choice that comes from clarity. The next 4 years do not need to be perfectly planned. They need to be consciously lived. Let yourself grow beyond old expectations. Let your understanding change. Let some answers arrive slowly. You are allowed to evolve without having to explain every stage of your transformation. And when you feel lost, return to the present. Ask yourself what is true right now. Ask what needs your attention today. Ask what one small action would create more peace, honesty, or alignment. You may not see the whole road, but you can usually see the next step. Your life does not require complete certainty before it can become beautiful. Sometimes the most meaningful chapters begin when you stop demanding guarantees and start trusting your ability to navigate whatever comes. The unknown is not necessarily something to fear. It can also be where new possibilities begin. And perhaps this is what the next 4 years are really asking from you, not to predict every change, but to become ready for it, to become more honest with yourself, more protective of your energy, more willing to release what no longer fits, and more trusting of the path unfolding in front of you. You do not have to become fearless. You only have to stop allowing fear to make every decision for you. You do not have to know exactly where you are going. You only have to keep choosing the next step that feels honest, grounded, and true to the person you are becoming. There will be endings. There will be beginnings. There will be moments when you feel completely certain, and moments when you question everything. Let them all be part of the journey. Your growth does not need to look perfect to be real. So when you look toward the next 4 years, don't ask only, what will happen to me? Ask yourself, who am I becoming through everything that happens? Because that question changes the entire experience. The future is not something you simply wait for. You participate in creating it through your attention, your choices, your boundaries, your courage, and the way you respond when life does not go according to plan. Maybe 4 years from now, you will look back and realize that the greatest transformation did not happen when everything around you changed. It happened when you finally changed the way you stood within yourself. So begin now. Release what is finished. Honor what is real. Protect your peace. Trust the quiet voice within you. Take the next step, even if you cannot see the entire road. And remember this, your life can change in ways you cannot yet imagine. But the first change begins the moment you decide that your future deserves a different version of you. 4 years from now, you will live with the results of what you choose today. So choose consciously, choose yourself, choose growth. Choose the life that feels more aligned with who you truly are. And if something inside you has been telling you that your life is entering a new chapter, don't ignore it. Maybe this is the beginning. Maybe the next 4 years really will change everything. But the most important question is this, when everything changes around you, who will you choose to become?
When will I ever learn? All my worry is a waste of time. When will I ever learn? Letting go brings peace of mind. When will I ever see things have a way of working out? When will I ever be free? Free from fear, free from doubt. Pray to you, give me the faith to make it through. I see a lowly sparrow fly, and I wonder, feeling in my soul. When will I understand? God loves me the way I am. Oh Lord, I pray to you, give me the faith to make it through. I see a lonely sparrow fly, and I wonder, when will I, when will
I was just making a pot of tea. Would you like to join me? I've lived next door for years. I thought it might be nice to finally have a proper chat.
Friendship often begins with a simple invitation.
this National Spiritual Day, share a cup of tea, start a conversation. You never know where it might lead, because it matters less how you connect and more that you do.
National Spiritual Day, the 22nd of September, celebrating the spiritual values that bring us all together.
That's Dan Tyler. When will I ever learn? And this coming up is In Search of the Truth by Gary Sweems. Are you a truth seeker? As you just heard from Lee, things are going to change. As you heard, National Spiritualism Day is coming up on the 22nd of September, so stay tuned for information about that. But this Saturday, 29th, at 10 o'clock, we have Lena doing From Anxiety to Inner Peace, and then at 12:30, there's From Overthinking to Inner Peace. So there's all sorts of workshops coming up on infinityspiritualcentre.co.nz. I am Barry, it's been the voice within. Kakite, shalom, namaste, masalam. May your God go with you.
This Free FM podcast was brought to you with support from New Zealand On Air.